Yes. Thank you, everybody. And thanks for inviting me to present, and particularly Mona for helping pull this panel together at the very beginning. What they had asked me to talk about was to provide you folks with an update of the activities that that started out beginning with the Health Forum meeting, which was held in September of 2006. For those of you who may have attended that meeting, there were specific tracks within that meeting, of which hepatitis B was one of them. After that meeting, the folks who had convened that meeting had an opportunity to meet with Dr. Garth Graham, the Director, Office of Minority Health. And from that meeting with Dr. Graham, he had committed to identifying two priority areas from that meeting, which they were going to take action on, and that we would be able to continue engaging them with in dialogue and moving that agenda forward nationally. So the update actually builds upon what Janet has already shared with you as an example at the local level of what a model coalition has done in San Francisco. And there are other coalitions like that in other parts of the country, and many of you might be from those regions. Can I just get a show of hands of how many folks in this room are involved in some type of hepatitis B work in their organization? That's about half. How many folks are aware of hepatitis B coalitions in the area where you're from? Okay. How many folks do not know anything about hepatitis B? Okay. I'm just trying to get a sense of how much time I need to spend in all of my slides. Just for disclosure, I and Aptio have some grants from some pharmaceutical companies, but none of the information that I'm presenting with you to you are related to that. The activities that I'm also presenting to you are focused around the administrative advocacy that has stemmed up from the Voices Conference. What I don't have time for in this particular presentation are the work that is going on at the legislative level and at the appropriations level as well, which certainly are very active as well, but just not within the context of this particular presentation. Hepatitis B, for those of you who are not aware of it, is a very serious disease that is a burden to the Asian American community. And particularly, it is a big global problem, but relatively in the United States, it is not as endemic as in some parts of the world. The big challenge, particularly as I will continue to highlight in my presentation, is that we don't have a true sense of what the burden is of chronic hepatitis B infection is in the United States. We just have a series of local studies that gives us some good estimates of what that is. But we do know that 4,000 to 6,000 people die each year from chronic Hep B-related liver cirrhosis or liver cancer. The areas that I did want to note as well is that there aren't good national evidence as well in how much of a burden the hepatitis B is in the Asian American and Pacific Islander community. But we do have good local studies that do emphasize or give us good estimates of 1 in 10 Asian American is infected with hepatitis B, and 1 in 4 die of or develop cirrhosis or liver cancer. For many folks, at least particularly even as recent as 2-3 years ago, this was the most this was the only chart they were familiar with regards to the burden of hepatitis B in the United States, and it's about incidence infections, particularly for the Asian American community, or most relevant to us is infections during birth, transmission from mother to child. And looking at this data, it wasn't no surprise that as far as spring of this year, CDC was proclaiming that that this country has been successful in reducing the burden of hepatitis B in our country, in our country. And part of that issue is, again, as I started to highlight, is that we don't have national prevalence for chronic hep B. And the only thing that was being reported to CDC on a consistent basis was the incidence from predominantly from our community, again, mother-to-child transmission. And because of the vaccine, this data is what people were saying, yes, we have been successful. It was one of those things in Healthy 2010 that they keep pointing at and saying, we don't need to put more resources in Hep B. Look how well we've done already. But we knew that that wasn't true. I mean, this is the immunization recommendations 2 years ago, as far as 2 years ago. And as we noted, we have a good vaccination program, which has started in the late 90s. But if you would look at this category, over 18, high risk, nowhere in this category would you be able to find, as far as 2 years ago, any reason for screening or vaccinating Asian Americans or Pacific Islanders. This is what was reported by CDC as real and perceived barriers to hepatitis B vaccination. On top of the list is there was no funding, particularly for adults, so why start to screen? There was a significant lack of integrated services and leadership at the community level to be able to address the issues that were needed. And also at the time, we were having problems just getting sites signed up for vaccine for children. So the National Task Force on Hepatitis B, with the focus on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, was formed, and it was really intended to help coordinate and support the national and state local efforts. To date, there are now over 100 members to this organization, this network task force of folks that includes academic institutions, providers at all levels, members of the state and local health departments, and nonprofit organizations. And we meet and get together on a monthly call to help coordinate and communicate with each other, local and regional and statewide efforts. So again, that task force started in 1997, and that's the extent of the history that I'm sharing with you with regard to the task force. And certainly the task force was very instrumental in helping build the capacity and awareness within the national efforts for Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders when the vaccine was the priority and the prominent intervention. But as a result of the Voices meeting in September 2000, we had developed a new agenda. We had developed a 5-point plan, which I'll be sharing with you. And with that 5-point plan in September, we met with Secretary Mike Leavitt in the December of that year. And from that meeting with Secretary Leavitt, we got a commitment from his office that he will be supporting those two priority areas that came out of the Voices Conference. And out of that meeting, the Office of Minority Health, as our principal sponsor at the Department of, at the Office of the Secretary level, has started to help us convene the National Task Force Expert Panel. So the expert panel is somewhat different from the broader task force. The expert panel included several of the coalitions actively nationally, advocacy organizations, key academic research partners, and industry partners, as well as 9 different Department of Health and Human Service agencies. The intent of the expert panel was to develop a federal plan, because up until this point, it was predominantly CDC and NIH that was helping to respond to our calls for more action in the Asian American community. And the intent of this was to help coordinate and pull together all the different federal agencies and get them on a concerted plan to support our hepatitis B agenda. And this expert panel developed a goal and 3 simple objectives. I'm not going to have a chance to highlight this for you now because I really want to tell you what's happening as a result of these efforts, and a five-point strategy that goes from education, development of public health infrastructure, awareness, screening, access to care and treatment, and finally research on hepatitis B. So we have that federal plan that is in the works. The federal plan has been signed by the Deputy Secretary of Health, and their office is endorsing it. And now it's going to all of the directors of each of the federal agencies under the Department of Health and Human Services. And they are reviewing it and be able to sign on to it. Once they sign on to it, it will be announced by the Office of Minority Health as the federal plan for responding to this hepatitis B agenda. And all of these collective meetings, I'm not going to take credit that the expert panel is what's contributed to the rest of this work, because certainly there's been a lot of advocacy that's been going on, but just to demonstrate or give you some highlights of the momentum and the waves of change that is occurring with regards to this particular issue. On September 19th, the new CDC guidelines came out. And finally, after a number of years of advocacy work, if you can see, the first area is that now we are screening persons born in areas of the world that has a prevalence of 2% or more. And also, for the first time ever, persons not vaccinated but have parents born in areas with 8% or more. Okay, so that really, and once I show you the map, you'll see the significance of that, in that this is the world map. The dark blue are areas that have 8% or higher. The medium, this color right here, is 2 to 7%, and the United States represents less than 2%. So anything other than the 2%, if your parents were born in those areas and you and your family have immigrated since that time and you have never been vaccinated, you now need to be screened and evaluated for hepatitis B. If you yourself immigrated to this country and have not been vaccinated because you came after the catch-up program, which is 18, 19 years of age, then you will now get a chance to be evaluated, screened, and vaccinated when appropriate. So it's changing who is being recognized as the community that is at risk, and once and for all, our community is being acknowledged that respect. Wednesday of last week, NIH convened a consensus conference, and to borrow the words of Dr. Griffith Rogers, who's the director of NIDDK, who oversees the liver division of NIH, because the consensus conference is intended to eliminate the controversy of treating hepatitis B. And once and for all, there is consensus that hepatitis B should be treated and is treatable. I just wanted to note, though, it was really the first time I have ever attended an NIH consensus conference. And I don't know how many of you have ever done it. I have never. It was really amazing to me in that there was no study that was valid unless it was a randomized control trial, and everybody else's work was not. It was, wow, this is really incredible. And that was the only factor in making their decisions. But despite that, there were some clear, concise recommendations that there should be treatment for hepatitis B. Other highlights that I just wanted to highlight for you, demonstrating the growing tsunami of support for hepatitis B. The Institute of Medicine this year, some of you may know, this is the organization that's really critical in helping educate our policymakers in Congress and in the White House. It's first and foremost doing its first time ever viral hepatitis study. And this report will be coming out in the fall of 2009, and it will really highlight for us the critical need for prevalence studies to once and for all be done. NIH has just announced that they're going to be awarding or awarded 10 sites to do clinical trials on the clinical management of hepatitis B. 7-year clinical trials. So this is first time ever that it's being done. CDC has, I'm fine. CDC has recently funded a series of studies to do more standardized screening across the country and get better data and trying to get better information from pockets of communities regarding the true prevalence of hepatitis B. California, for some of you who are from California, has developed their statewide strategy for viral hepatitis, and it is. And I'm not surprised that it has, and that I would suspect that other states where we have very active coalitions will be doing the same thing relatively soon. World Hepatitis Alliance, there is now a World Hepatitis Day, and it's celebrated every May, and it's something that globally an awareness campaign is being structured around. And lastly, I just got invited to it next week. In San Francisco, there's going to be a semblance supported by WHO, the Asian and Pacific Island Alliance to Eliminate Viral Hepatitis. So it's a new group who will be working with the Asia region and the Pacific Basin region to help eradicate this disease in that area. The only threats I can see in our efforts is our current economy, the lack of political will, and other health priorities that we're always competing with. Links and resources. Now, this isn't a surprise. How do we go back? Last week, I just wanted to share with you two things that really touched me. And it was from the clinicians' conference for the medically underserved. There were two quotes that really just harmonized to me what needs to happen. Looking at you all, at this audience, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And Dr. Gloria Wilder, incredible, inspirational speaker, when she said, speak we must, speak we will. And for those of you in our community who has not participated in these advocacy efforts before, there is ample opportunity in this particular area. I had circulated a sign-up sheet for the Hepatitis B Task Force. If you want to get invited to one of our monthly conference calls, please let us know if you want to participate in that effort. Thank you.